NATO warships began their first patrols off Libya's coast today, enforcing a UN arms embargo. And international forces launched new airstrikes against Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi's forces near the rebel-held western city of Misrata. A doctor who spoke to the BBC said the hospital there was surrounded by Gaddafi's troops.
They are shooting anybody coming in or out from the hospital, even the ambulance and doctors who's trying to save people in the street. Our hospital is overcrowded. We stopped counting injured people. We're just counting the dead.
And in an interview with Spanish-language television, President Obama categorically ruled out a land invasion today. But the fighting comes as Western leaders say an agreement is emerging about who leads the intervention, with the U.S. keen to hand over enforcement of a no-fly zone to NATO in the next few days. Nick Childs is the BBC's defense and security correspondent. He joins us from London. And Nick, it's day four in this operation. Where does it stand so far?
Well, Monica, I think the general message from the international community, from the coalition that's carrying out the operations, is that they are making progress. They've more or less established the no-fly zone, as it were, in terms of degrading Libya's air defences and essentially making what was a pretty weak air force anyway virtually non-operational. But US commanders, other leaders, acknowledge at the same time that one of the key objectives, which is to stop Colonel Gaddafi's forces attacking civilians, still hasn't been fulfilled. So clearly that is, if you like, the next challenge and the question, with all the focus that's been in the east and around the city of Benghazi in the past few days, whether there will now be, if you like, a new phase of the operation focusing more on what's going on around Misrata and in the west.
Well, we're also wondering just how much firepower or organization the opposition really has. Do they have planes? Do they have artillery? Can they win this fight?
Well, that's key, if you like, to the way all this is going to unfold. Of course, the West, the United States in particular, has said we are not the air force of the rebel forces, if you like. Having said that, there's no doubt that in enforcing what they regard as the objectives of the UN Security Council, they are neutralising some elements of the government forces' advantages over the rebels. But it's become increasingly clear that the rebel forces, particularly in the east anyway, remain very much a rag bag, a rather motley collection. There were certainly defections from the regular Libyan armed forces early on, but it was individuals rather than formed units. What one has been seeing more is essentially volunteers taking up arms, jumping into the backs of pickups and charging down roads without real kind of military planning or real military logistics. And it's more or less a sort of rather messy stalemate in the east, at least.
Well, where are they getting their arms from? We've seen stories that the opposition might be getting weapons from Egypt.
Well, I think there never has been any shortage of weaponry around in Libya, and a lot of the arms, I think, are, you know, out of military stores that were in the east anyway. AK-47s, rocket-propelled grenades, that sort of thing. They've improvised some heavy weapons, but certainly in terms of real firepower, that seems to be an area where they still are very limited.
And Nick, there's been a great deal of back and forth about who is actually in charge and the role that NATO should play. Apparently, only the U.S. has the firepower needed for this kind of operation. So will this operation be essentially U.S. military equipment coordinated by NATO, commanded by a committee of foreign ministers, including some Arab countries? Is that the agreement that's emerging?
Well, war by committee, that's the one thing a lot of people say you must try to avoid. But clearly that is one of the issues, is essentially trying to show that there is as broad a coalition as possible supporting all this, but one in which there is, you know, real military clout and real military effectiveness behind it. And because the coalition is actually rather fragile, that's proving very difficult. When it's going to be a very complicated situation, when, you know, pilots might have to decide whether it's within their rules of engagement to drop a bomb on an exchange of fire that's going on the ground, you need the rules of engagement, you need the authorization right. So having an effective military command structure, I think, is going to be an absolute minimum for people like the British, certainly. In the end, though, for all that they're talking about, maybe up to 15 countries contributing to this, and the British Prime Minister David Cameron has just been announcing that Jordan and Kuwait are going to be providing logistical support, as well as Qatar sending a few fighters. Who is really going to be at the sharp end of this, still at the end, is I think, going to be a fairly small number of countries. At the moment, it's essentially the British, the French, and particularly the Americans who have essentially been employing the firepower. Everyone else has been, you know, flying around or offering support.
That's the BBC's defence and security correspondent, Nick Childs, in London. Thanks.
Thanks, Monica.